Item 15, discussion, use of federal NOAA Army Corps of Engineers funds in near future wish restoration projects.
You're right here.
You won't find anything in your package on this because most of what I'm going to speak to occurred in the last few days.
A little bit of a unique agenda item in that we typically don't come to the commission on oyster restoration issues until we're ready to ask you to endorse the creation of certain sanctuaries that have been created. But most of you are aware that for the last several years, we have had a partnership with both NOAA and the Army Corps of Engineers to pursue oyster restoration in a number of areas that started way back in the Pocomoke-Tangier Sound. We've moved to the Rappahannock, down to the Lynn Haven, and up into the Great Wicomico using federal monies from those two organizations. They obviously have much deeper pockets than the state does when it comes to oyster restoration efforts, and that has been attractive to us for some time. About 6 weeks ago, we met with the Corps of Engineers staff who outlined for us the next phase or their next proposed phase of restoration in the Great Wicomico. And if you'll refer to the second page inside the package, you'll see a map of the Great Wicomico. And it contains a number of color-coded sites. The red sites are those that were constructed previously. The green sites are those that were being proposed for the next phase at a cost of about $2 million. The state would be required, as they have in the past, to match those monies by 25%, and we do that through the value of the shell that's actually planted on the sites. Because there has been such disagreement between the scientists and the community to the point where VIMS is yet to provide us with a unified position on whether restoration of the Great Wicomico is working, and because industry has been doubtful as to whether the work that the Corps has done in this river has actually been responsible for the improvements we've seen in the river, we thought it would be best to discuss with our Shellfish Advisory Committee the Corps' proposed plan before we bring it to you. And so we met with the Shellfish Committee and the Corps of Engineers and VIMS last Friday at Mr. Fox's house. Mr. Fox is chair of that committee, and he graciously offered his residence as a point of meeting, and he lives on the Great Wicomico. So we were right there at the river for the meeting, and following a 2.5-hour discussion on this proposed plan with the committee, we then boarded our vessel and went out on the river and looked at a number of these sites. So in all, I think we had about a 5-hour discussion and field survey of the proposed plan, and there were only 5 members of the Shellfish Committee in attendance. Tommy Kellum, Robert Johnson, help me out, Jim.
Ken Smith.
Tommy Leggett from CBF, and Dudley Biddlecombe. And I think these are all people who have experience on this river and are familiar with its long history and the condition that it's in now. But if I could just summarize the results of that 5-hour discussion, the committee is reluctant to move forward with the plan that the Corps has presented to us. When we looked at, they're just not convinced that the restoration that we see occurring in that river is any different than what we see occurring in other rivers that the Corps hasn't been involved with. And they're not convinced that many of the sites that are in green on this map are suitable for further restoration. In some cases, they're too far upstream. This is, again, the committee's recommendation. Too far upstream, on too soft a bottom for planting, or in too deep a water. We know in the Great Wicomico, below about 12 feet, we run into low dissolved oxygen problems in the summertime. We hear this from the crabbers, who mistakenly will put crab pots in the deep water and find all the crabs in them dead. Mr. Smith related that experience to us. Doesn't necessarily apply to all the sites, but the committee just simply wasn't ready to endorse moving forward with this. And I relayed that to Mark Mansfield, who was the senior Corps officer president at these meetings. Friday's meeting was followed up with a conference call with Mr. Mansfield and his staff, Mr. Fox, myself, Dr. Wesson, Tommy Kellum also joined us on that call. And again, we reiterated the committee's reluctance to accept the program and suggested that the committee has great influence on the commission, and the commission likely would not, as a result of that, be willing to endorse it either. And that's why we're here today. But that prompted Mr. Mansfield to engage us in a discussion of how we might proceed from here. One of the stipulations we suggested needed to happen to pursue further action with the Corps is more of a willingness on their part to not only pursue creation of oyster sanctuaries in the river, but to improve harvest areas in the river as well. After all, this agency has both ecological restoration and economic restoration as its goals, whereas the Corps typically only looks to the ecological side of things. And he seemed willing, as much as he could in his position, to pursue discussions with his superiors about that type of a change. It may ultimately require change in federal legislation to change the law to allow harvest areas to be built with the Corps money. One of the other areas we asked him to pursue would be to lessen the burden on the state's matching requirement. Because we don't have cash to match, we are forced to use the value of oyster shell to match the federal expenditures. This forces us to use oyster shell. In some cases in this river, if we could use concrete rubble to build some of these reefs and then overplant them with a thin veneer of shell, we think we could be equally successful, but not use what everyone believes are limited quantities of oyster shell that we have remaining in the state for restoration purposes. So he agreed also to pursue that matter with his superiors. Finally, on the issue of that everyone seemed to agree with, that oyster shell for restoration purposes is in short supply, and it has to be used not only to maintain sanctuaries but to maintain harvest areas in the future, there needs to be a scientific survey of the existing sites where we mine oyster shell to determine precisely what quantities of shell are left. Is it a 10-year supply, a 50-year supply, a 100-year supply? We don't know. We just know it's, we've identified the polygons where these deposits exist, so we know the aerial extent of them. What we don't know is how deep they are and therefore what quantity they contain. And so the Corps also agreed to pursue hiring a contractor to do that type of monitoring and perhaps absolve the state of having to match the cost of hiring that person to do that work. So, in all, it sounds like we have a new awareness on the part of the Corps of our concerns and our goals, and some willingness to at least pursue those, recognize that it may take some time, particularly if federal legislation is required to fix some of this. But Mr. Fox, if I've left anything out, please add. But I think that in a nutshell sort of captures where we are.
I think the rotational areas, the harvest areas, we talked to the Corps in terms of those being rotational areas, so that perhaps an argument could be made with the Corps bosses that what you have is a sanctuary for 2 years out of three or 4 years out of five, and you have a working sanctuary, if you will. And he seemed receptive to that, or that concept anyway.
I mean, that's been one of our biggest concerns, that it's not just the set aside to create these reefs, it's the fact that once you decide to put these sanctuary reefs there, we have forfeited, mm-hmm. to an extent, some ground that we may, should things turn around, or need one day. I mean, and every time you do that, it's laudable from an ecological perspective, you have to be, this commission is a fiduciary of the ground that we're dealing with, and I think that plays heavily into the decision-making process where we're going.
I think the other message we tried to convey to the Corps, I think everyone did, is that the unwillingness to support the current plan in the river does not mean that Virginia is walking away from the partnership.
Not at all.
We want to maintain that partnership. We just want to redirect it slightly.
And have some dialogue.
Working with them. They seem very appreciative of the dialogue that we had there on Friday and on the conference call. And
they also talked about bringing NOAA into the group.
Absolutely. We have essentially the same issues with NOAA, and need to work with them as well. So, I think you don't have to do anything on this issue if you agree with us. We'll just continue to proceed in this direction. If you disagree with that approach, then we need some guidance from you.
I'm just pleased with the dialogue. I mean, I think it's the right direction. Fox?
I agree. I think the course of action for the commission at this moment is no action.
We'll stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to speed.
All right.